They were giving off this light. Approximately 20 meters from the woods, to the left, right and behind, were 3 meters long thick landing supports to facilitate movement of the flight object on the ground. These wheels looked like wrought iron. On the right side of this flight apparatus, near the landing gear, and very much up front were the entry steps and the entry port. A black ladder could be seen extending to the ground from this entry. The diameter of this flight machine was 50 to 60 meters. I relatively exactly could calculate this because behind this flight machine stood 10 line poles that were 5 meters apart. The machine was of triangular construction with heavy rounded wingtips that extended far behind, all the way back. And that is why this flight body was able to move and start so easily. The wing ends, tips if you want to call them that, reached an approximate width of 3 meters. They were roundish and strongly shaped, and were connected to the cabin without any seam or joint into the rest of the cabin. There was a further lightweight black metal frame fastened all around the machine. On the front or bow end of this machine one could see in the middle 3 openings, 4 to 5 or more meters long each, on top of each other, of the same material as the black wrought iron looking frame. The upper curves of the machine blended dynamically. The oval bull-eye windows of the cabin had the same color as the outside skin, and one so that it could match the color and temperature changes of the rest of the craft. One had to look closely to distinguish them. But from within the ship you had a guaranteed full clear view of the universe. The entire height of the flight machine, from the bottom to the top of the cabin was about 8 to 10 meters, because I could still see the crown of the tall poplar trees behind the landed craft. After some time, I stood again between the extraterrestrial beings. And that big giant laid one of his huge hands on my small shoulder and motioned more than once with the other hand, toward the entry ladder. And while he did that he was mumbling something that I could not understand. Here is a drawing of that machine. 17 Chapter 3, My Visit Aboard the Small Ship. He motioned me into the flight machine, to enter. A very uncomfortable, unusual feeling came over me. Obviously this female being, the fairy, the female being noticed this and she looked at me in a friendly way and nodded graciously more than once with her head. She repeated the same invitation to enter the machine as the tall being. Go, she said, we have promised you. I was wondering, hesitantly, I was wondering within. How does this being know what I was feeling? I felt as if somebody tore all my fearful feelings out of me. Gone they were. My entry into the spaceship. I was by now getting more courageous. My steps became more animated and I ran the few meters to the entry ladder, and I with the lightness of my young body form, I quickly climbed the ladder and entered the craft. Momentarily I wanted to grab hold of the ladder. A small coffee brown hand grabbed me and pushed me up the ladder and into the ship. In a few seconds I stood on the floor in the interior of the flight object. And these beings were speaking in a high-pitched fast singing-like voice, and they caressed my cheeks, probably in a form of welcome greeting in their own manner. But I could not understand anything. Suddenly I realized I heard a quiet metallic click. The entry steps were now withdrawn and locked. I found myself in a big 45 to 50 square meter room, that was illuminated from within, like in a summer evening. In a half circle I could see a curved full-packed control panel. In front of this control stood 6 rotating light brown seats. They were upholstered with fine leather in a waffle design. That type of seating interested me. Curiously I passed my hand over this chair. I didn't seem to be either of natural leather nor of artificial or synthetic leather. I touched this material and it felt like velvet. Someone had fastened on this seat a kind of stretchable material that was unknown to me. No place on the chair where anyone could hurt himself could I see. It was all very smooth. On the right hand side, looking toward the slide direction was shining a big light blue light, in a weak light blue, like a 2 to 3 meter television monitor. Buttons and little blinking lamps and small switches could be seen, with many small glass windows, instrument faces, or meters and gauges arrayed there. At the end rooms or parts of the ship, there were 2 half pillars forming a round doorway, and on each door a warning sign appeared. We found ourselves underneath a 30 centimeters wide object made of glass, a warning signal out of three triangles with their tips touching. And the second warning sign had five angles and an electrometer, and these angles 18 shined in sequence, white, green, blue and yellow. I supposed that these symbols were expressing their functions. And I was prohibited from going near it. It was at that time fastened one the door to the transport cabin. Filled with curiosity I sought to work this door. Creepily this smaller being blocked my way. The being who pulled me a little while ago up the entry step. She was the one who blocked my way. I looked at her a little bit embarrassed. Then I looked at the warning signal and I nodded my head. I acknowledged that I realized that it could have been dangerous for me to venture further. Slightly embarrassed I turned around. The commandant, whom I have sketched, of this small spaceship was a smaller female being. Her skin color was lighter than the one from the first meeting. Her slender face had especially prominent cheekbones, and small lips with a normally large or long nose, dark shiny eyes and long shimmering reddish-brown hair that reached to her shoulders. Her face seems oval in general shape. She emanated an impression of adventure, of being a daredevil kind of person. She was a little smaller at about 1 meter 19 to 2 meters 0 meters tall. As I turned around all beings had no outside habits on, no space suits. I was very carefully analyzing, looking at them all. Only now I began to feel like I was an intruder. Only now was I able to fully realize that these beings were actually three women and two men. My fairy was actually 2 meters 20 in height, 6'10". I estimated both the other women at 1 meter 90 and 2 meters 0. The tallness of their bodies was impressive. The smaller woman was skinny and slight of stature. She had a light skin color and oval-shaped face, and high cheekbones, slanted eyes and bushy eyebrows that were still more slanted. Under her long straight nose was a small well-formed mouth with small lips. Because of her reddish-brown shimmering hair that fell to her shoulders, she appeared very daring, like a pirate almost. The skin of the bigger of her two male colleagues was a stark blue. He had a round his mongoloid face, black crinkly hair and a broad nose and somewhat sensual lips. Also he had five fingers on his hands. A great respect entered me as I looked at his not-so-gigantically built shorter male companion. This being was with lighter skin color and middle European facial features. He was moving his strong hands with five equal long fingers. They were fastened on way too short brown forearms, and it looked rather hilarious almost. Even though all the beings were very tall, almost like giants, I no longer felt any fear in their nearness, because they looked so similar to us Earth human beings, and that factor had calmed me down. My fairy lady, the giant that took care of me from the beginning, took my hand and guided me into a circular 4-square-meter room. In that small spaced room was a third woman. This woman had a roundish face with negroid lips, but a normal mongoloid face form. Her skin had a bluish shimmer to it. The hair was deep black and crinkly. She had five fingers on her hand. I estimated her height at about 2 meters 0 in stature 19. Quickly, you must undress, she said in a friendly way, and then you have to lay your hand on top of this. And she pointed to a symbol which was a pointed design on a square interrupted by wavy lines. As she advised, I laid my hand, after undressing, on this symbol. After that a wonderful aroma that reminded me of moss, and like a warm fog for a few seconds long drifted toward me. It came down from the ceiling and surrounded me. It entered into the room there. Only a small humming in various tones could be heard. I heard other sounds and voices of people through the wall that interrupted the stillness, and then I got the order. I heard a voice that said that I should lay my hand onto a circular symbol and there my orders would appear, where I should put my belongings and my dress, and where I could receive my new clothes. I laid my hand onto a circular symbol with two small squares. Adjacent to that there silently appeared two drawers with my new clothes in them. They came silently out of the wall. In the first drawer I saw underwear, made out of the finest white, yellowish cast shining fabric. There was a stocking, like a pantyhose that was reinforced on the back side. Next to that was a pair of socks with a built-in sole, and a shirt with short sleeves. In the second drawer lay a yellow suit of a more coarse material, and with it light special shoes, gloves, and there was a cap made of the same material as the upholstered seat. The dress clothing was very elastic and stretchable. I dressed myself. The glove and cap I stuck in the pocket. After I was dressed, a second door opened up. My fairy was there expecting me. After that she never left my side. She took my hand and guided me to a seat on the right side. The last one on the right, so I could see in the direction of flight. "So, this will be your place," said the lady. "Sit down please, human son." I obediently sat myself down and laid my arms on the chair rests, and then she touched a few buttons and adjusted the chair, and the chair fitted itself around me securely and comfortable to my body. A little bit later I was observing my surroundings. One after another the other people aboard sat down in their own places. As with me, their seats adjusted themselves to each one. I quickly discovered that the woman with the reddish shiny hair and the brownish skin color was guiding the working group. I thought she carried much the responsibility as a commandant. Then, all at once, my fairy patted me tenderly on my shoulder. "You thought rightly," she said. I suddenly looked at her in surprise. Wherefrom could she know my thoughts? I asked myself. I had no suitable explanation. Left, next to me sat that commandant woman. She was concentrated on various different electronic gadgets and devices. In the middle sat the pilot, the giant, the one that has to answer to the committee. 20 quickly and energetically he touched with his hands the diverse buttons and symbols, and then he pulled out something in one of the very unusual gadgets, like a plunger. With his huge claws, his hands, he was typing on something, a machine. Like a keyboard. And then he pushed this gadget back into its original position. The rest of the seats were occupied by other beings. They seemed to be navigators or scientists and they also worked with various different gadgets. My fairy was now very busy with a calculator, very busily occupied. Her fingers moved very quickly at this. Quietly the device hummed in different spots and in different sounds and tones. While she focused her eyes on her activities, with her hand on a big screen, she asked me to try to look at this big screen, this big viewing screen. She motioned at and said, "Look. You will be able to see and to study the interesting activities, what we are doing." From the beginning I felt that the air to breathe was starting to change. I breathed in the pine-scented fresh air mixed with oriental flowery fragrances. This put me into a very unusual atmosphere of feeling. Abruptly commands came through. I could hear and it sounded like a whole choir singing and with dogs barking along with it. Suddenly the room became darker and darker. Only little tiny lights showed us all dimmed down. That big viewing screen was emanating a pink light and it seemed to be attached to a panoramic camera, because I could see the interior motions of the flight apparatus on that screen as and where the surroundings could be seen in their natural colors. First I could hear a short tapping sound and then a strong hiss. And slowly this big object was lifting from the ground. About at the height of the tops of the tall pines all the noises ceased. Suddenly, from there on, a powerful gigantic power pushed upward. Ever more big, larger and larger the pressure grew. The viewing screen showed the landscape beneath us. All at once I experienced an overpowering homesickness. I became emotional and great fear entered my being. I was shaking all over my body. Immediately Diglo acknowledged my worry. She laid her hand on my hand and looked intently into my eyes. My restlessness disappeared. My nervousness disappeared and I felt well again. Unexpectedly we stopped at about 150 to 200 meters height. All the beings, and I also, fastened ourselves with the helmets upon our heads. My protector lady was very carefully watching and acknowledging me. She checked that all was functioning correctly. Just now as she was checking and finished with me, I felt how the flight apparatus pushed me back in my seat. 21 Suddenly, and within a few seconds the whole spaceship was pushed with unbelievable power, almost out of this Earth and into far orbit. Now it was black and the screen faded to a milky white to an azure blue color, with golden dots all around. We are in deep space now. The many gadgets and apparatus would demonstrate this for me. These were machines and devices that Earth society had not developed yet. After that, they offered me a small insight into my soul. In between all of these activities, they will introduce to me a human youth, one that is not born on Earth, but who originated here on Earth. Absolutely correctly, my fairy was introducing that grand complex of duties that she has that she was going to work through with me. According to her gestures, I could see that my care was exclusively in her hands, though I understood practically nothing of this. I did notice and nodded to everything she said. Even though it was quite difficult for me to comprehend everything, I amusingly gazed a few minutes at the great viewing screens, but the gentle voice of my fairy called me back out of my musing and thinking, and reasoning and daydreaming look. She said, "The connecting ship is on its way," and she motioned toward the screen. I looked at the viewing screen but couldn't quite see anything yet. And, a little embarrassed, I asked her again. "Where? Don't you see it? Up there. There on the top of the right side, there it is. Don't you see it?" Again I looked in vain at the viewing screen, and then I discovered the Zubringer that was connecting with this spaceship, as already mentioned. She noticed that I was looking in vain at the viewing screen, and she marked the spot. "Oh yes. There I see it," as she pointed her finger at the spot on the screen. She touched some buttons and said, "Here, you can touch these buttons and then you can find it for yourself, then you can see it better, okay?" And then she acknowledged to her communications contact on these many, many buttons. She moved her hands and motioned around over this kind of touch board, and then the screen filled in quickly with the spark that was the big spaceship, the Zubringer. It first appeared in a green color. "Can you see it now?" she asked. "Absolutely," I said. I was finally able to see it clearly now on the viewing screen. I was so full of joy, I was soaking. The king knows. My fairy noticed my joy at the sight and lovingly patted me on the shoulder and smiled a certain way. The ship could be seen in the viewing screen at about tennis ball size, this huge ship, and it was rounded, sort of like a race car. It was proceeding slowly and glowed like a lighted ball on the viewing screen as it moved toward us. 22 According to my awareness of Earth time, we had waited about 1.5 hours approximately until I was able to see this little illuminated ball of light, the Zubringer, in the viewing screen as it grew bigger and bigger. Stunned and fascinated, I gazed at the screen that was capturing the unending vastness of space in this universe. The magnificent beauty of this space scene overwhelmed me more and more. I gave in to the feeling and started to daydream, to dream myself into this starry sky. The sky full of stars was magnificent. My fairy was increasing the values until I was able to see on the screen huge nebula formations as wheels of sparks, huge wheels of sparks, and with them hundreds of bright stars. At the same time, I experienced a great joy inside about all this. I was thrilled that this spaceship, this Zubringer, would appear amidst a background of thousands of radiantly glowing stars like this, that I could see it there in the field of stars. I could have just jumped right into the cosmos there. I was so full of joy, so full of joy. Again, my fairy lady stirred my brain telepathically. She surely wanted to check how hard my brain was running and feeling, and suddenly a huge amount of new information began pouring in, a very great deal of it. After she let me wallow in this great feeling of supreme ecstasy and joy, she explained to me that the Zubringer was now approaching. It increased in size and got bigger and bigger in the viewing screen. But until it would arrive would still pass 2.5 hours. After 2.5 hours only, would we truly be able to view its size and see the entire outline of the ship? After we would be overtaken and connected with it, we would eat and drink. For me as for the other beings aboard, there will be available 3 meals per day. Our menu would be fluids and mostly vegetarian fare. If I am thirsty now, I will be able to drink immediately. I took her offering and thanked her quietly. She brought me a drink in a very fine and beautiful narrow stone-like container, like a wine cup, not glass, filled with water. The water had the flavor of walnuts. If it did not escape her, she realized very quickly how much good it did me, and she nodded. After that I emptied my stone-like cup. When it was empty, I sat and gazed at it very deeply. I looked at it quite intently. The beauty and the simplicity I greatly enjoyed. The cup was a grey-brown marble design. It was a beautiful work of art from a strange foreign world. While I was studying this stone cup with great attention, there appeared in the viewing screen, the size of a football, a dark yellow image. The outline was a shimmering green. It fascinated me as the size and light was increasing because of the speed it was traveling. I noticed my fairy searched and focused and adjusted very intently on the approaching spaceship, the Zubring aircraft. And on this small viewing screen she was reading its arrival time, when it will arrive. She placed her slender hand on the top of mine and explained the situation. 23 It won't take long, son of humans, when we will be able to see the Zubringer ship up close. But because we have a little time, I will take this opportunity to explain to you what else will go on when the Zubringer takes over. Always when these beings touched me bodily, I looked them sharply in the eye, and I felt myself calming down and I felt bodily well. I could not explain this, really, I had no logical explanation why. Also, she continued, I will show you where we will have to go in order to connect. Moreover, I will show you what area we will have to pursue in order to link up. She took me by the hand and guided me toward a half-circle interior. It was pointed toward a door where there were warning signs. Signs in the door panel glowed. The interior of this room looked like a modern shower cabinet. It resembled a modern shower. The material was see-through with a golden thread in the see-through material. The floor had a kind of waffle design, squared, but it was shining in the half-dimmer light. Now and then one could make out a reddish glimmering, and a soft quiet monotonous humming, mixed with a tender metallic knocking sound. It gave this area a very mystical atmosphere. In this interior there was a 20-centimeter big pointed object with a similar inside triangle in a bronze-yellow glowing color. Continuous black wavy lines could also be seen in it. These glowing triangles fascinated me more than the interior of the strange, shower-like room. Of the technology here I know nothing at all. After a short time viewing this shower-like cabinet we returned to our place. Underneath the viewing screen, which meanwhile had changed quite a bit, appeared a lot of different signs and symbols, and the Zubringer spacecraft was moving toward us. We could see this. And my fairy lady was looking with much attention into a much smaller screen next to it, and it produced only a picture as she touched that symbol with her hands. There were words and numbers to be seen and visible with strange signs in reddish color. The reaction of my fairy lady was to speak toward the viewing screen. I was surprised at how quickly this viewing screen was changing. It showed a new female being who resembled my fairy lady in her dress and facial features. Both women engaged immediately into a conversation. They spoke obviously about me and I listened very intently about their strange and unusual way of speaking their language. Sometimes as they spoke, they mentioned my name rather cautiously, and I listened carefully. My name sounded rather strange in their pronunciation. She, my fairy lady, spoke freely into space. I didn't notice that she touched any special control for that. And on the monitor would appear now and then, the Zubringer shining in normal size again after the lady disappeared. Now the Zubringer spaceship emanated very much light. The true image of it came through clearer and clearer. 24 Look, human son, you may not see it in its fullest detail, but in 1 hour you shall see the entire outline. It is approximately 120 meters long and 50 meters wide. In this Zubringer ship live and work 320 beings out of many different worlds. As you bring a ship weighs many thousands of tons, and is capable of displacement at 500 times the speed of light. My fairy lady paused in her speech, because she was talking to the other lady in an instrument. Meanwhile, I was trying to figure out what developments the fairy had explained to me, and all the technical explanations she had given me. I had to do that to sort it out in my mind. I tried very hard, but I could not follow her at all. I had no way of imaging or visualizing what she explained to me, and how big it would be when they brought in the spaceship. When she asked me if I understood everything, I nodded obediently. Well, we still have a little time to converse. Diglo is my name. D-A-Golo, she introduced herself, but she pronounced it D-A as we speak in Gol, and she squeezed the A out of her throat, and both O forms she pronounced through her nose, as if she had a cold. It was very strange, very unusual, very different. But I still could understand her quite well. Yes, her strange pronunciation I even enjoyed, as it was quite pleasing to me. I am 1,230 years old, according to Earth time, but I am 61 years old by Aryan time. I come from the planet Aryan, from the star picture Aldebaran. Here it is pronounced Aldebaran. The planet Aryan and the Earth are 59 light years apart, distant from each other. Aryan is the fourth planet from its sun, has less water than Earth. Still, Aryan resembles Earth very much, but far fewer beings live on Aryan than on Earth. The Aryans normally live a lifespan of 235 Aryan years, which is thousands of your Earth years. Imagine, if 61 Aryan years is 1,230 Earth years, one Aryan year equals 20.18 Earth years times 235 Aryan years. Average age equals 4,742 equivalent Earth years. Average age of an Aryan being. We are distant foreign relatives of the Earth humans. And we visit your planet from time to time. I am trained as an anthropologist, a psychologist, a biologist, a geneticist and gene specialist, and a language scientist for the intergalactic languages. I involve myself in my research for the development of the male or masculine beings for our galaxy. So for now we will leave it at that. For me I will just be the Glow, and you will be for me, and Reyes. Shall we just leave it at that? Are you in agreement? Yes, Diglo. As I spoke and pronounced her name, she turned her face toward me with a sort of a smile. Probably my way of speaking was just as strange and unusual for her. But she explained to me that the commandant of the flight object that is on its way, there's you bring a ship, is also from the planet Aryan, but that she comes from the north side, which is very much warmer than the south side. 25 We had quite a long conversation until the approaching spaceship, Bazubringer, filled the entire viewing screen, and looked humongous now. I looked at this huge vessel and the Aryan being. Diglo said, it is only as you bring a spacecraft, which will park 150 kilometers away from us, and we will assume its spot in space. It was the connection between us, the action spaceship, and for us and other flight objects. The mother ship was still at a distance of 12 light hours from this parking space. The Zubringer ship that we were expecting did not come only because of us. It had its own duties and responsibilities with its research activities. Sometimes there was also time for special problem-solving responsibilities and special duties, and for these special responsibilities she has full responsibility to have it carried out. And this is why at this moment I am the important being for her. My God, I thought, what size will the actual mothership be if this Zubringer is that size? I tried to feel what it was, I could not, it was beyond my human comprehension. I simply could not imagine, or estimate, the size it must be, the real mothership, that is. But I was aware that the 800 meters long Zubringer ship would be a gigantic size to me also. Unbelievable that such a thing could fly and assume such incredible speed, that it could increase it to that much. Very concentrated, I gazed with great concentration into the viewing screen. In fascination and with great anticipation I wondered, what will happen now? As I was waiting, Degelow conversed with the viewing screen that connected to the other viewing screens.